Are you ready to exist boldly? I'm Leanne Scheer, lifestyle coach, founder of Cycle District, and gym owner times two. Welcome to Undone and Uncensored. Here we go, back with episode two. I want to start this podcast by saying that there's going to be a lot of honesty in it. And honesty doesn't always sound good, but my belief is that when I'm honest with you about every little thing that runs through my mind, the kind of things that run through all of our minds that create or that can create guilt and shame or feelings that we are not good or that we have lost our minds or all these little things that our minds are constantly moving, right? And so even though you can have a logical process about who you are and what you are, when you're in high stress situations, we all have a human thought process that sometimes, I have a thought process that sometimes like, what the fuck was that thought? What was that? That's terrible. I'm going to start this podcast telling you a story just to get us all kind of on the same page, open our minds and being really honest of how we think and different things that we've thought as we're growing up. When I was probably, well, I think if you've listened to prior podcasts, you know that when I was 18, I had my first child and there was a lot of financial stress and emotional and mental stress. I was a child that wasn't very well equipped to be a caregiver, not financially, mentally, emotionally. Physically, we grow up quick, right? We're there. We think we're ready for all of those things. And then they happen and we're like, what the hell? I don't even know how to do this. And there was a time that I was going through something financially. I want to say that I was somewhere between 19 and 21. And I was having financial problems and really struggling and thinking, how am I ever going to raise her? How am I ever going to do this? How am I ever going to find my way? And I had a thought run through my mind thinking, well, your grandmother has worked really hard and she has money. And when she dies, you will get an inheritance and it won't always be this way. What? Like with my brain now, even remembering that that was a solution at the time. And I want to tell you, within, you know, seconds of that thought, I experienced the guilt and the shame of like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What that tells me is back in that point in time, I was feeling desperate and looking for an answer. Now, did I have any idea what it would be like to go through the loss of my grandmother? Absolutely not. And very thankfully, I was much, much older when I was having to go through that. And it was a terrible thing. And there's no amount of money. If you've ever lost anyone in this world, there is no amount of money that would make it okay to exchange the loss for money or some kind of financial peace or anything like that. It just doesn't exist. I'm opening with that story because it's such a horrible sounding story. And if I were just to walk around and say that out of context, there would be a lot of people, one, that wouldn't even acknowledge that they've had off thoughts like that. And I want us to stay focused on off thoughts and what we can do with them. This has been really prevalent for me lately because as a caregiver and caretaking can happen in the situation that I'm in now, taking care of Jonathan, who has basically become, for the most part, but either he is in a bed or he's in a wheelchair and he needs 24-hour care. He can't go to the bathroom by himself. He can't feed himself. He can't prepare his meals. Like he needs somebody with him all the time. And also, as a side note, he is not okay with anyone other than myself helping him with bathing and or going to the bathroom. So that has made it really a struggle caretaking. There was a point that he didn't even want me to do that. And that was kind of the way that I got him to agree to come home is that if we get you home from an inpatient care home, you have got to commit to letting me do those things. And so now I've done them, but he's not comfortable with anybody else doing, which I totally get. I mean, I can't even imagine what it would feel like to be an independent person and not be able to do those things for myself anymore. So I have so much grace for where he's coming from. The flip side of that as a caregiver, and this is what I really want to talk about today, and because it's happening with people caretaking adults, it's happening when you have maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and or you work and you come home and you're the only caregiver, you're a single parent, or you're in a situation where you don't have any other help right now. Caregiving is an incredibly difficult thing. And I have to say that I vacillate between being feeling very honored and so much love, which I would say the same thing happened as I was raising my children. Like, you can't love your child anymore. And man, sometimes it's really hard. So you have resentment buildup of like, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't even go to the bathroom without somebody yelling my name. I remember when I was younger, I was going through a program. I was like 18, going through a job placement program. And I was going through it with somebody I went to high school with. And they were talking like, raise your hand. Like, what is it you really want in life? And she had become a mom when she was, I believe she was 16. And she was like, I just want to go to the bathroom by myself. I just want to be able to shut the door and have it be quiet, not have kids playing at my feet while I'm trying to go to the bathroom. And that I've thought about that so many times through this, where again, I have so much honor to be able to one, to be home. I can't, you know, there's people who don't get to stay home and caretake, and they're forced in a different situation than what we're in. So I have a lot of gratitude and honor. I want to feel honored, and I want to feel like I'm doing a really great job. And then there's this human part of me. And the reason I'm talking about this is I think that if we take it away from Jonathan being ill right now and having a terminal illness and the him being an adult, I feel like there's a lot of times that we're in caretaking as whether it's as parents or I think there's or our parents where we're in positions where we need to be selfless. And it's really hard to navigate. So you have resentment buildup, or what I should say, I have resentment buildup. There's times where I'm like, I can't fucking breathe. I feel like I can't do a podcast without creating this, you know, this big scenario of how I'm going to do it and how I'm going to get away and make sure that he has everything he needs for the amount of time that I need to sit down and do this podcast. There's times I think I want, you know, people up come over and they, as long as he goes to the bathroom and he's all set, somebody can come over and then I can run to the grocery store. Thank goodness I have a 16-year-old daughter, Eden, who can, you know, just be here in case he needs anything. Because he can't move, I don't feel safe leaving him by himself and being like, oh, we're going to be gone for an hour. See you in a minute, just in case he needed something. So I do have those moments of breaks, but those moments of breaks are usually things like going to the grocery store. There's been a couple of times I've been able to either go get a pedicure or go get my nails done. And I'm going to use this as another, there was one time that I went to get my nails done and I was thinking, oh my God, thank God I get this break. I'm just going to go and have somebody do my nails. And it was a new guy at a newer place that I went to. And he cut into every single one of my cuticles, cut my nails too short. So it was, my hands were literally bleeding. And I was so incapable of saying, stop, don't. I just sat there and felt completely deflated. Like, I can't even get a fucking break when I'm trying to take a fucking break. And that, and then for me, instantly, when I feel that, like, for me, it feels like victim, like I'm a victim. Oh my God, I can't catch a break. I hate that more than anything because I don't want to see myself as a victim. I don't want to see myself as a person who can't take care of herself. I pride myself a lot in the fact that I'm strong and I can do anything. So I feel that, you know, I can't even catch a break and I hear myself saying it out loud. And then all of the old records play of like, oh, you're a martyr. Oh, you're just a victim. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be that person. So I take those feelings and I shove them down and I shove them aside as if they're bad, feeling guilty. So resentment, guilt, all of these things are or I would guess if you're a caregiver, and God help you, if you're doing this in a way without experiencing these feelings, I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I want to have you on my podcast, because I think the more that I navigate through it and wrap my mind around it, I realize that it's human behavior. We are human beings that are struggling, and strong, not strong, whatever and wherever you are, if you are taking care of someone else and having to do things that are not in your plan, even becoming a mother and the amount of, or a parent, I should say, and the process that you have no idea how much that's going to take out of you, and what it feels like not to be able to sit down and be completely distracted because you have to pay attention to everything going on around you. This is from the National Alliance of Caregiving. Caregiving in the United States, 43.5 million Americans will provide unpaid care to a child or adult. This, we're not even talking about caregiving of just being a stay-at-home parent or coming home from a long day at work and taking care of something else. Really, really, really difficult. And we all have fuses that get short. And I, if I were just to be completely honest, I've always had a little bit of a short fuse. I would like to say that that's not true, but it doesn't take, I like to call myself emotionally, fragile, in the sense that I feel, whether you can see them or not, and I've mastered the mask of looking like everything's okay and acting as if everything's okay and pulling my shit together. And I'm a very logical person. So if I'm going through that, it'll take me a minute to calm through it and come out and try and again, put the mask on to make everything look okay. But I have a very short fuse, and I struggle internally with my emotional regulation of, like, if you could see on the outside what was happening on the inside, I would be jumping up and down, pounding my fist against a wall and screaming like, fuck, I cannot fucking do this anymore. And I remember one time when I was a young mom, literally, and I was probably in my 20s, early 30s, but there was something going on with the kids. One of them was crying, fighting, whatever was happening, that I locked myself in a bathroom and I was just rocking like, I cannot cope. I can't do this. And if I stay in that situation, it's not going to be okay. I'm going to act in a way that's not appropriate. So today I want to talk about what are some of the things that we can do when we're in the position of caretaking, or just having a short fuse, just being like, I don't have anything to give myself right now, but I have to give to you, right? So when we're talking about caregiving, it's not really a choice whether I do that. It's not a choice really if you parent. It's not a choice if you take care of a terminally ill parent or an ill parent or husband or whoever it might be in your life. It is, although technically I guess it's a choice, most of us would not see it as a choice to choose not to parent that day if we were having a short fuse, if we were overwhelmed and we needed a break. So what can we do and how can we do it? And I know that this kind of stuff has been said so many times. I don't know that it's been said in a way where it's like, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to tell you it feels like bullshit to hear it. So right when I say this, I want to say, people have said this to me, and I'm in the back of my head thinking, are you out of your fucking gourd? Like, yes, yes, I understand that I need to take the oxygen mask if it pulls down and put it on my face first so I can help my child and put it on their face. I get that concept. When you're in the middle of it, I'm talking about an airplane, by the way. If you missed that, that was happening in my head. I might not have said that out loud. In real life, though, taking care of yourself first can be really, really difficult, especially if you have a demanding child, or in my circumstances, I have a pretty demanding husband. And now that is not to say that, not rightfully so. Children act the way that they act. They need the attention that they need. He is going through a lot, having lost his independence. And I think it's important for him to see that I'm there. So he can be demanding, or what to me feels like demanding, since with all honesty, I've never been in his situation. It feels like he's expecting a lot from me and without a lot of gratitude, or at least verbally saying, gosh, you're so great. I'm so thankful for you. And that's also something that I experienced as a parent. Your children don't know what you're doing for them. They don't have the capacity to understand or know. So they're not able, nobody's able to really give you the, you know, like, wow, you're so great. And there comes a point where you have to learn how to do that for yourself and how to take a step back. And just for me, I have to, we're talking about taking care of myself, one of the most important things that I can do is remind myself every day that even if we have a day that I wasn't super emotionally regulated, you know, when I haven't slept well and he's waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning going bathroom and acting like it's an emergency and I don't have my contacts in and I've injured my arm trying to move him around and I'm trying to wake up out of a dead sleep and do that, I am not emotionally well regulated at that point in my life. I do what I have to do. I walk out of the room and I take some breaths and remind myself that it's okay not to be okay. It is okay not to be strong. It is okay to be overtired. But it's my job to take care of myself first. So that might look like planning to take a nap when Jonathan's sleeping, and maybe I had housework that I wanted to get done or a podcast that I wanted to do. Maybe I had in my vision a different idea for my day. And if I'm taking care of myself first and I know that I'm overtired and I haven't gotten enough sleep, I'm going to grab a book, sit on the couch, or lay down in bed and try and take a nap. It is at least the effort of acknowledging that I have to take care of my basic needs, also eating, sleeping, having a support system of some sort, somebody to talk to. I have to tell you, my mom, my sister, I have a handful of friends that have gotten calls that thank God that they love me so much, because I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I don't know how to do this. And they're so great about listening and not trying to fix something that really can't be fixed. And listen, when we're going in these times and going through what we're going through, there's not always a fix for it. There might be a few things that we can do to make things a little bit easier, but it's hard. And I find myself acknowledging without being a victim and without feeling angry and resentful, when I can get to a space and go, this is fucked up. There is no easy way through this. There isn't a way to make this be not hard. There is no way to get through this without it being tough. And I can acknowledge this is hard. And then I take care of my needs, meaning I take the time to sit down and eat. Listen, when this first happened, I lost a lot of weight really quickly. There was many a days where I couldn't even make myself eat, because it felt so overwhelming. Now I've never been a breakfast person. I don't like it. I force myself to get some kind of protein in the morning and take my vitamins. And for me, that is taking care of myself first. Maybe that's all I can do today to take care of myself, but it's still one step closer to what I was doing before. You got to know when you need to take a break. And sometimes a break can just be walking out the front door and standing in the sunshine and letting it beat down on your face. Deep breaths can do amazing things to regulate your body. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to do it. I know a lot of us do inhales and exhales when we're overwhelmed and frustrated. But if you're to keep that process of in through the nose, holding your breath, exhaling as slowly as you can really calm down your nervous system and help at least get yourself to the point where you feel sane enough to continue doing the job that you need to do. The other thing that I want to just quickly touch on, so just to wrap that part up, caregiving is hard. And I want to acknowledge for you that if you are caregiving, no one is prepared to do this job. whether you're a single mom, no matter what your position is, there is not training for this job. No one can prepare you for it. And you are enough and you are doing a great job. And if nobody's telling you that, you are, even on the days that you at the end of the day, you're like, I failed. I didn't emotionally regulate the way that I wanted to. And when I say that, that's for me. I wish I could give you a visual of me standing in a corner shaking. Emotionally regulated means that I stand in the corner, I shake, and then I get some logic and I take some deep breaths and I pull it together. When you get to the end of that day, it may not have been perfect, but I am proud of you and you are doing the very best that you can. There's things that I've recently started seeing a counselor, and that has been, I can't go all the time. Sometimes we have planned, at one point we had planned for me to go once a week, then it was once every other week. Sometimes I'm lucky for it to be once a month, but that time is my time. Even getting in the car, turning on my favorite music, driving there, sitting there, talking to someone about how I feel and what my biggest fears are, and having somebody to bounce that off of that's not trying to make me feel better. She's not trying to say, you know, oh, you just need to do this or you just need to do that. Having her look at me and go, wow, this is really tough. And just feeling acknowledged. So I lost my train of thought. You know, I couldn't do a podcast without losing my train of thought. You'd be like, what happened to Leanne? She's thinking so clearly. I'm proud of you. If you're doing caregiving and you are doing the best that you can. It's tough. And I want to get on here and I just want to wrap this up with, I have had so many people say to me, and side note, if you're one of those people, lovely human beings, because there's no anger attached to this, but if you're one of those people that has come up to me and said, you are so strong. I'm not strong. I am strong. Almost didn't talk about this in the podcast because it's so hard to articulate. I need to be okay without being strong. Will I always look strong in public? Will I always put on a face of I've got this and everything's okay? Probably. I've worked hard on letting some of that mask down a little bit. When we first got Jonathan's diagnosis, it was the first time in my life. I remember needing to go to Costco. This is when he didn't need the level of care he does now. And I saw somebody I hadn't seen in a long time and I loved them. And I really wanted to stop and say hi. I couldn't even fix my face to smile at them. I couldn't even acknowledge them. And that's another side note. If you're ever in a situation where you see somebody you know and they're acting very out of sorts and it looks like something's wrong, it probably is. That had nothing to do with them. I literally didn't have the capacity to put that mask on and pretend for you that everything was okay. When people come up to me and tell me how strong I am, it is true. I am strong. You're strong. But sometimes people don't need to hear they're strong when they're struggling to breathe, when they're struggling to get through the day. Even though it feels like it might be a nice thing to say to someone, it also puts a lot of pressure on me to feel like I have to keep up this facade that I got it all. And that's why this podcast is so therapeutic to me. And I hope to you, because I'm not strong. This is not something I even want to be. Strong is the wrong word. I am coping. I am getting through it. I will get through it. We will all get through this. You'll get through what you're going through. That's one thing for sure that I know, that we don't know how to do it and we navigate it one day at a time and we get through taking care of ourselves the best that we can. And I know it's completely semantics, but to me, when somebody says, I don't even know if I just pronounced that word right, but you know, it sounds like semantics. I am strong. And it's not that, the point being that when somebody says you're so strong, the underlying way that I take that is that I have to continue to keep it all together and I have to continue to look like everything's okay. like, oh, you look good. You're doing a lot better than I would have thought you look. No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't care what I look like. Getting in the shower this morning was really fucking hard for me. And I'm telling you that because it's okay if that's you too. And it's okay to go out and smile at the world. But if you are friends with somebody or you are an acquaintance with somebody who's going through this, I think that always the best response is, I'm sorry and I'm here. Because the word strength to me right now, even though of course I know what people mean by that. And of course I want you to think that. So I get why you're saying it. But inside of me, it sends a message to me that I have to keep up. I have to stay strong and I have to do this a certain way. I don't. I can break down today. I can make a phone call and say, I cannot do this today. I don't want to have to be strong through this because, God, it's fucking awful. And to be really honest, as much as I loved my kids, there were some days where it's fucking awful. That if you had said, oh, you're such a great mom, you're so strong, I'd have been like, fuck, no, you don't know me. You don't know what's going on inside of me. So the whole point of this 28-minute, whatever it ends up being, ramble is that you're okay. We're okay. I want to share with you, I never know how to talk to people when they're going through stuff like that. I've learned through so much by going through it myself. I've learned the words that are super triggering to me. And I get that if you've never been through anything like this, I get that I just said, I know I'm strong and I don't want you to tell me I'm strong because I'm not strong. I get that that doesn't make sense. I get that that's like a, whoa, what? How could I possibly say or do the right thing? Well, I don't know that people can. And that's the trick to this particular situation is it can't be fixed. And I don't know that I've been in a situation in my life. I pride myself on being able to fix things. There's a problem. There's a solution. I'm going to fix it. But when you get to the point in your life where whatever you're going through maybe can't be fixed, and all you have at that point is your internal ability to get through it and to protect yourself and to do the very best that you can, regardless of what it looks like. If you just keep doing the very best you can, you are going to get through it. It may not be pretty and it may not look okay to other people and it doesn't matter. So you're doing the best you can and I'm super proud of you. I'm super proud of myself. Even I have turned around and looked at my husband and been like, stop. If you haven't been a caregiver for somebody who's ill, it would be the same as when you yell at your kids. And then immediately after you're like, I just yelled at a small child. I need to get a grip on myself. Or in my circumstances, the guilt of, oh my God, the guy has a terminal illness and you just yelled at him. It's the guilt that comes with that. And then again, releasing it. I'm a human being. I'm doing the best I can. Using those moments as tools to understand that, okay, it's time to do something different. Whether it's breathing, reading, anything, I understand when you're caregiving, it's not the same as taking care of yourself. Like, I'm going to go get a massage tomorrow. Maybe you can't do that, but don't disqualify the little things that you can do to take care of yourself. Sometimes when we're feeling resentment and anger and we get into that victim mentality of, there's nothing I can do anyway. There's always something that we can do to take care of ourselves. And I am so blessed and honored to be able to share with you. I want to hear from you. If you're a caregiver and you're struggling, I hope that you were able to hear this episode and feel like you're normal because you really are. You're really normal. Everything that you're going through is normal and you're going to be okay and we're going to be okay. One day at a time, we'll get through this and we'll get through it with being honest and sharing and saying those things out loud that are so hard to hear yourself say out loud. It's okay. It's okay to have those fleeting, terrible thoughts and immediately want to take them back. That is human behavior. And if you're listening to this, you're human. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time.
Thanks for listening today. Book a coaching session or purchase merch at www.undoneanduncensored.com or give me a follow on the gram, Undone and Uncensored. Have a great week.